You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Welcome, dear kinswomen and dear kinsmen. Welcome to hell. That's all I can say about this world. It's just, I mean, there's a lot of heavenly things that the Father does to, you know, give us relief, like the birds or cats and dogs and all these kinds of things, and our fellowship together with our brethren. But other than that, the world, you know, the beauty of the trees and the beauty of everything, there's a little bit to offset this hell. Thanks be to the Father. You know, cool water and fresh air and all kinds of things. It'll be nice when I know all of you are waiting for the Father to return and that you want him to return. I know I do. We all want him to. We want to get into his kingdom and get out of this hell. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, I want to explain something to you. I've been talking about this quite a bit, and the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. About the word human or humanity. See, what I believe has taken place is they wanted to advance the coloreds of the world because that's what the devil wants to rule over. The devil can't rule over the white man properly. Yes, some of them he can, but as a whole, the whites are not going to make it easy for the devil to rule a kingdom. Let's put it that way. So the devil wants one brown race. We know that's true. We know that his offspring have promised us again and again and again about peace and everything. And, you know, I've told you this before, that they've promised us if we'll all just race mix into one race, the brown race, then there'll be peace on earth. And well, maybe that's true. There'll be peace for the devil on earth to rule. But it's just not, I already explained to you that the most violent places in the whole world are where the brown people live. Not even the black people. That's violent too, but the brown people are where the most violence is. So, very interesting. This word humanity, it was fed, I don't know when this began, this term humanity, because there is no need for the term humanity. We have the term mankind, and we have the term man. But you see, the beast of the field is not included in mankind or man. Let me show you an example. When the astronaut supposedly stepped onto the moon, he said, "One small step for man, one huge step for mankind." He didn't say one small step for human and one giant leap for humanity. Good point, right? So I don't know when this began, but they didn't want to let it on that the whites are not part of the humanity, so that they would help promote human and human rights against their own race. See, it's a trick. It's how we always are tricked into these things. And I'm sure there's somebody out there that doesn't agree with me, but if you think about it, the more I look into this, this has to be the Father that gave this to me, because I don't know, it's just so odd that that's what it's about. All of a sudden, there's this term, humanity. I haven't even looked into the origin yet. I will. I'd like to do a show on it, but, you know, we'll get to these things when I get to them. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm thinking about them. And the more I see about humanity, the more I realize that it's not, the white man is not included in humanity or humans' rights organizations. I proved it to you, right? If we were included, there's human rights, if you want to call them human rights abuses, right? In South Africa, and nobody's doing anything about it. I thought we were for the rights of human. See, nobody's doing anything about it because whites are not human. Now, if the whites were oppressing the blacks, which they pretended was happening before, look what happened. They got the whites to give up to black rule because there were human rights abuses, according to the Jews and the world, which wasn't true at all. Even King Zwelithini of the Zulus said that it was much better when the whites ruled. So you see that that's the proof. And I think the more each one of you look into this humanity thing, I think you'll begin to realize. See, they're concerned with human rights, women's rights, queers' rights, but they're not interested in white man's rights. You know that's true. I mean, it's as obvious as could be. We should have a right to our own living space, but nobody cares about whitey. They care about human. You think about what I'm telling you. This is a great revelation. It really is. And it's so simple that I can't believe nobody's ever thought of it before. I can't believe nobody's ever mentioned it before. You see, because it was a trickery thing. It meant that the statement, there's only one race, the human race, see? See, and that's trickery in itself, right? So the whites think that we are included in this, and so we help fight for human rights against our own selves. We fight for the rights of the colored man against us in our nations because we're fighting for humanity, see? I'm telling you, you think about this stuff. It's amazing. It's just amazing to me. That's all I can tell you. I just don't know what else to say. I never, you know, it's not like I, you know, wanted to dream this up. All I did was it just came to the realization. It has to be the Father. The more I look at it, the more I see that what I'm telling you is the truth. And thank you for commenting on the videos, all of you. There's some real good commenters out there. And thank you for liking the videos. It's a small thing to just hit the like button, but it helps me, I think. In other words, it helps to share the videos. If the more likes videos have, the more they can become popular. When I'm only getting 7 likes on a video and 300 people are watching it, you know, don't you think it would be a lot better if there were, you know, 200 likes maybe? I know that that's the way it is. There's nothing I can do about it. But if you want to do something little that will help, that'll help, I think. It's amazing all this stuff that we're learning here on the different shows. And let me tell you a little bit something else before we go into the subject matter. I told you that I watch different shows, okay? And I have lots of different types of shows. And I've been able recently to get through YouTube the whole Rifleman series and the Lone Ranger and that Sea Hunt. I had only one thing of the Sea Hunt. You just got to hear this. So I said to myself last night, well, I didn't really say it, but, you know, I said, well, let's watch one of these Riflemen. I remember this was a popular show when I was a child. I mean, it's been popular for decades. That's, you know, all I can say is I don't really remember watching that much of it. So I wanted to see what was going on in it. I didn't have to go past the first show, ladies and gentlemen. I had to shut it off. Let me just put it that way. What's the first show of The Rifleman about? Wait till you hear this. So there's this weak-looking fellow walking down the road or whatever, and he gets onto the stagecoach and steals a ride. The people that were on the stagecoach, one of them was Glenn Strange, the one who played the monster, Frankenstein. He said, "I saw him get on. We'll give him a real long walk." So when they were about halfway to wherever they were, they dumped him off onto the ground. So he was, I want you to note that that was his first persecution. He stole a ride where people have to pay to have these rides. He stole it. Didn't ask for it. Stole it. But he was, even though he's a thief and a robber, he is the victim here. You see? You wait till you hear what I'm going to tell you. So he's all shook up and he's walking, and pretty soon the rifleman and his son, Mark, the rifleman's name is Lucas Light. Get it? So anyway, I mean, that's just neither here nor there. I have to laugh. So he's walking down the road, this creature, and he falls flat on his face, and they ride up to him, and they, good Samaritans, pick him up and bring him back to their home. The next scene you see is you see this character sitting there talking to the young boy, Mark, while Lucas is making breakfast. And he's saying, "New York is so great. New York is so great," and all that. It's a Jew. You see, immediately it's a Jew. I could tell it was a Jew from the first glimpse of it, but this confirmed it because you could really get a good look at him now. And it's a Jew, a real Jew. And he's bragging about how New York is all this and everything. And Lucas is starting to realize that this fellow is trying to, he had Mark put on his derby and strut. He taught him how to strut, you see. And he was kind of bringing things out of his pockets, like a woman's garter and dice that every time that you rolled them, they would be always roll a 7, which means they're cheating dice. You understand? In other words, a lot of bad things and that he didn't want Mark to learn, but the Jew did. And Lucas began to realize that this was going on. And he says to him, "Well, if you like New York so much, why didn't you stay there?" And so Mark fell for this. You know, he thinks the guy's a real nice guy and all this stuff. And so Lucas wants to get him out of there. And Lucas isn't going to go into town for another 2 days or so. So he knows a fellow named Jackson that is going to be riding through there and going to town, and he could pay him to have a ride. And Lucas even said, "I'll give you a couple of bucks to, you know," because he wanted to get rid of him. You know what I mean? Neither here nor there. The guy gets the ride. The Jew gets the ride, and he's running his mouth. And the guy says to him, I don't want to talk. You paid me for the ride. I'm not interested in talking, and I'm not interested in listening either. So here's his second abuse. The white man's abusing this poor Jew. Remember, the first one abused him. He stole a ride, and they played the trick back on him and kicked him off halfway through. And, of course, that now he's a victim, you understand? The Jew's always the victim. Even though he stole it, he's a victim. This is what it's teaching people, children, and everybody else. And, of course, it taught that Mark loves the Jew, and the parent wasn't too into the Jew and what the Jew was trying to teach his child. This is right. This is just the beginning of the show, the beginning of the whole series, ladies and gentlemen. So next thing that happens is they arrive into town, and this guy goes into the office, Jackson, and his boss is named Kramer. You know what kind of a name Kramer is, don't you? Yeah. So the little Jew and Kramer are in the office with him, and the evil white man, Kramer, says, "I know that I'm missing $2,000 or whatever, and I know that you took it," and so on and so forth, "so I'm going to report you to the sheriff." So what does the white man do? He shoots him because he's the evil white man. That's why. Then he points the gun at the little Jew and said, you killed my partner. And the Jew runs out the door somehow and gets away, steals the buckboard with the horses and takes off, horse or horses, and takes off. At some point, he's right back near Lucas's ranch, and the buckboard turns over, and he goes flying. Of course, he's the victim again. And little Mark helps him, and he covers for him. He covers his tracks because he told him he was being chased and all this stuff, and so on and so forth. So now he's the victim again because the evil white man who was a thief stole all the money. But when the white man steals the money, he's not a victim. You understand what I mean? It's like only when the Jew steals the money, or only when the Jew steals a ride or teaches evil things to children, he's a victim, you see. I haven't even finished the episode. I'm about halfway. I had to shut it off because I couldn't believe that this had to be in the first episode, that I had to see this garbage in the first episode. So what happens is, I'll just tell you what happens then, is now this Jackson fellow is with the sheriff and other people with a posse, and they want Lucas to join, and they want to go hunt this guy down. But of course, Jackson wants him dead so he can't tell what happened. But Lucas and the sheriff want to bring him back alive. So you know what's going to happen, right? And what's really interesting about it, when the little Jew was saying, you know, oh, I'm going west, he said to the Jackson guy, he said, there'd be opportunities for people like me, wouldn't there? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there would be opportunities for a little Jew. He wouldn't do anything. All he'd do is try to get his little piece of the pie too, right, ladies and gentlemen? Right? So what it comes down to is simple. The Jew loves to show himself to be inept, to be weak, so that you pity the weak fellow. But little do they know that when this fellow gets west, within, you know, such a time, such and such a time, he'll be persecuting Whitey and stealing off Whitey. Because he is a thief already, right? He's got dice that throw sevens, right? So on and so forth. But he's the victim, you see? And at the end, I'm sure I know what'll happen. He'll be exonerated and the evil white man will be taken to justice. This is what they teach our children. And this is why people believe in the Jew. You see, the little boy, Mark, was interested in what the Jew said. Oh, it's got beautiful lights in New York and buildings. And remember I told you about Dorothy? Oh, the farm is so boring. Yes, you need to come to the big city where the Jew can prey on you. And there's beautiful lights there, like on a Christmas tree. Hmm? You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is the technique of the Jews. And so this is the kind of garbage when I have seen these Westerns, these Western movies and so on and so forth. Every Western has evil white men around every corner ready to do you harm. When we know that the whites, we all helped each other to get out to the West because we had the Indians trying to kill us on the way out there, you see? And it was really rough territory, so we had to all stick together. But the way the West is portrayed by the Jew is another West than there really was. It's not a reality. So at every corner, at every turn, there's evil white men. And the most evil of the white men are blonde men. I see this over and over and over again. See, the reason I have watched these things and have looked into it is because I wanted to see, well, what were they trying to teach us? What were they feeding us? What kind of garbage? Garbage like there's a white man at every corner trying to rip me off and kill me. Or do me harm in every way. There's not a friendly white man out there. Mostly all of them are ready to kill us. Unless they're good communists, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm telling you, the things I'm telling you should just bowl you over. Because if you were to look into what I'm telling you, you'd be able to see what I'm telling you. You see, they've used this media to brainwash us into looking at them as poor victims, even if they're criminals, like this little criminal Jew who said he heard the fellow saying, "Go west, young man," Horace Greeley, the Freemason. "Go west, young man," and the young man went west. And of course, the vermin was going to do some serious business out west, you see. But he was innocent. He was just somebody looking for an opportunity out west, like other white men. See, they don't let you know it's a Jew. I knew right away. It's a slimy little Jew, and I knew it right away. I knew it from the first glimpse that it was a Jew. But I also saw the portrayal of itself. It likes to portray itself as weak and vulnerable and easily victimized, when it is the most deadly creature. So, that's some food for thought, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine that I couldn't even watch one full episode. I couldn't even watch the first episode of the series. So, if there's five seasons, what do you think the rest of them are all going to be about? Remember what I told you about Lloyd Bridges? How he's a communist? And they portrayed him as this wonderful man who loved his country and would always turn thieves in and help anybody possible. And the same thing on those shows. There was one show that I had just watched, which was, I think it was the last show of the first season. And there was a colored fellow, there was a white man, and there was this Lloyd Bridges, whatever he is. Supposedly he's a white man, but I don't believe it for a minute. So they're searching for certain kind of rocks, manganese or whatever it is, and the white man is greedy, of course, and he tries to kill both of the other people. He tries to kill the non-white fellow that was supposedly his friend. And then he tried to kill the, so he could go into town and have the title for himself to all this manganese. All this, your claim. You could stake the claim. See, it's always the white man who is evil in these things. And it just goes on and on and on. Because mostly whites were in these things. So it was convenient for the Jew to play white people. And it was convenient for the Jew to always have white criminals and white people doing people harm, especially Jews and Indians. That's another one. They love to pretend. Like in the series Gunsmoke, Kitty is an hybrid. So is the other fellow, which I know is not. Burt Reynolds is not. He truly is a hybrid. He is not a white man. I never realized these things. But even in the series, he's half Indian, half white. And he's persecuted by a lot of evil white people because he's a half-breed. You see, these themes are always there. They're always there. The Jew has tried to turn every other, the colored man, the humanity, against the white man. And has told all of humanity, just like in Israel Cohen's, the play there, you know, about how, you know, putting the guilt trip on white people, that we've done all these races wrong, all these colored men. We've done the colored man wrong, the white man has, according to the Jew, that is. And this is all to coddle all of them and to encourage them to turn against the white man for injustices that the Jew has claimed. Now, it's funny that the Jew is the one that has really done them all harm. The Jew has had white slaves, has had all slaves of all kinds, and has always run the slave trade, even back in Rome. When Rome would go in and take over an area, the Jews would be there to grab the people and take slaves. Did you know that? See, it's Jews who have done humanity wrong and mankind wrong. Isn't it interesting when you think about what I'm telling you? It shows the Jewish pattern of always blaming somebody else for what they did. They're the ones that took the slaves. They're the ones that ran the slave trade. They're the ones that have always done terrorism. Seriously. Right? You know it and I know it. And now they've got the world thinking that the Muslims are the ones that do all the terrorism. When in reality, much of the terrorism that was done during these wars that we've had, we found out were British people dressed up as these people. And we found that things like ISIS are really the Israeli intelligence service, you know? It's unbelievable. And so they did the terrorist acts in the name of other people, convincing the world that it's Muslims that are doing all this. I'm telling you, the truth about what really goes on in the world and what really is, the Jews are the terrorists. Guarantee you that. And of course, they'll get Blackwater and they'll get the Mossad and they'll get all kinds of, you know, in Britain, there's lots of willing people to do this kind of stuff. You see? And so, basically, there you go. You get a lot of Freemasons. I would think that in England at this point, it's hard to even be in the society and be able to eat without being a Freemason. Now, that's a little exaggeration, I'm sure, but it's got to be. I'm telling you what's going on. You think about what I'm saying. So there it is, just the first show, and I couldn't even finish the show. This show's only 22, 23 minutes long without the commercials, because you get these shows without commercials. I'm in 11 minutes, right? So in other words, I couldn't even finish the show because I can see. You know, back then when people watched it, they didn't even realize it was a Jew from New York. They just thought, oh, here's a white boy from New York. But if you could see the episode, all you got to do is go to YouTube and put in The Rifleman and watch episode 1 from season 1. Do it, folks. Do it. I'd like you to see what I'm trying to show you. Season 1, episode 1, The Rifleman. Okay. I suppose we should get on with the regular business. Fritz Springmeier's Be Wise as Serpents. We're on page 391. I'm going to take a little sip of my coffee here. It's a beautiful sunny day outside. It coincides in spirit with some of the other things that the Reformed Jews have done to the Orthodox Jews. Remember we were talking about this, that they claimed, that Fritz is trying to claim that the regular Jews wanted to kill the Orthodox Jews off and killed millions of Orthodox Jews during the war. You know the Hegelian dialectic, right? But, you know, make no mistake, the Jews will allow some of theirs to be killed in order to get world Jewish domination. No doubt about it. Because the ends justify the means to these people. So Reformed Judaism and the Jewilluminati have been actively working on the destruction of the Jewish people's morals and Bible convictions. That's such a lie, Fritz. Fritz, please, give me a break, will you? A Jewish author not long ago described the subversion of a Polish town in an historical novel, Satan in Goree. The scene is in Poland in 1665. The book is based upon the subversion that took place within various Jewish communities as Jew-luminated ones of the satanic Jewish Sabbateism. How do you say that? Sabbateanism sect began to destroy the Jewish morals. Began to destroy the Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, you laughing? Fritz, are you serious? One offspring of Sabbateanism was called the Frankists, and they were the core group which started up the Jew Illuminati in Germany. Some rabbis tried to stop the Oriental pantheism of these Kabbalistic Jews. Sure they did. The rabbis are Kabbalistic Jews. Tried to stop the Kabbalistic Jews and their magic and the lewd paganism that the Sabbatai were introducing. What a load of crap this is right here. What a load of crap, Fritz. But it was a losing battle. Today, psychiatrists are primary recognized authorities on people. I don't recognize the psychiatrists as anything but shysters and destroyers and deceivers. So let me move on. Who was Adolf Hitler? Yeah. Okay, post-World War II, I'm skipping that. I ain't going to waste my time. The Catholic Church, after the war, naturally continued her crusade against communism. Now, notice that sentence, because this Hegelian dialectic has caused the synthesis where the Catholic Church is communism and promotes communism. You get it? Catholicism is only successful, truly successful, in communist nations. And that is the truth. So, this was fine because the Jew-Luminati ones, or the Jew-Lumined ones, wanted a Cold War. The final step was when the Cold War was to be dismantled and a Jew world order created. They would have to step in and actually control the Catholic Church rather than manipulate it. By using fear of communism, the CIA was able to infiltrate the Catholic Church. The CIA. Now, again, with numbers of the CIA, I just want to mention this. C is 3, I is 9, the devil's number. 3 and 9 is 12, and A is 1 for 13. You get it? Okay. An outlawed Masonic lodge system called the P2, which was in, of course, Italy. That's where the Mazzini was, and that's where the mafia came from, through the P2 Lodge. So, an outlawed Masonic Lodge system called P2, working with the CIA, gained control of Italy and the Vatican. Although the regular Masonic Lodges also have gained a large power within the Catholic hierarchy. It is at this point that this book will now zoom in and focus in on to cover the details of how the great Roman Catholic Church became another New Age religion. Introduction. In searching for a method to organize the details of the Masonic capture of the Catholic Church, when you say the Masonic capture of the Catholic Church, ladies and gentlemen, what that means is the Jewish capture. Because Masonry is used, this is another Jewish revolution. Now, I wanted to mention this too. I'm glad that that came up. Because what you're seeing in the world right now is another Jewish revolution. You can see Antifa. You can see the Masons are involved in this. You can see that the Jews are profiting from this heavily, right? And you can see that just like in 1929, when the stock market fell, it was another Jewish revolution where there was transference of wealth. You can see again that we are in yet another Jewish revolution that there is transference of wealth. Not only that, just like in 29, people are killing themselves like flies, Wanted to mention that. All these are Jewish revolutions, and they use the Masons and the communist organizations and the niggers and all their minions to carry out these revolutions. And that's what you're seeing with these riots and so on and so forth. That's another distraction as well, while they're doing other things. So, may the Father destroy them by their own devices. In the mighty name of Yahweh, I pray it. So, it says, in searching for a method to organize the details of the Masonic capture of the Catholic Church, the simple expediency of breaking things into subchapters named chronologically after successive popes has been implemented. When needed, these subchapters will be broken down into sections. For those readers who are unfamiliar with the Catholic popes, the list of popes since the first pope to forbid Freemasonry is given with the date they became pope. Subchapter 1, the early years. Whether the reader is Catholic or not, he will be aware that the Catholic Church has always had enemies, that some of these enemies would choose subversion and secret... Who would choose subversion? When we read Maurice Pinet's book, you know, a part of it, of course, a good chunk of it, who was subverting the Catholic Church? You know who? Yeah, the same old who. That some of these enemies would choose subversion and secret organizations is of no surprise. However, those that were opposed to the Catholic Church because of its moral deficiencies and corruptions were not the ones that were willing to be totally amoral to fight the Church. It was not the reformers, but those that wanted to destroy all vestiges of Christianity that were the most dangerous. The Jews had adopted and codified in the Talmud the worst moral perversions. Wait a minute. I thought the Talmud was a holy book. Yes, I hear the laughter, but you know what I'm saying. Again, let's hit this sentence. The Jews had a... See, they've got the world. I have nationalists writing me, telling me that Judaism spawned Christianity, you know, and, you know, they hate Christianity and they hate the Jews. And they don't understand. They think the Talmud is a holy book. They do. So listen, the Jews had adopted and codified in the Talmud the worst moral perversions. Not even the Catholic Church could tolerate Talmudic Jewish morals. The Talmud instructs the Jews to commit every sin possible against the Goyim. Against white man, yes. In numerous obligatory passages, it also promotes amongst the Jewish people themselves child rape. But I thought it was a holy book. Sanhedrin 55a and b, 69b, 76a, Ketubot lib. Sex with animals they promote in this Talmud. Are you listening, folks? These Jews. I'm grinding my teeth. Footnote to Sanhedrin 55a. So in other words, they're promoting child rape, sex with animals, and a host of other practices called wicked by Christians. This is why the Catholic Church tried to stamp out the Jews, because they practiced disgusting perversions that were codified in the Talmud. The Catholic Church very early on felt that one of their bitterest enemies were the Kabbalistic Jews. And the Catholic Church, from the public beginnings of Masonry, felt that her Jewish enemies were behind the lodges. Well, they felt right. Likewise, the Protestant reformers felt most threatened by such people too. Not out of racial prejudice, but because they were so destructive to all morals. Calvin, the Jew, Coughlin, and those who ruled Geneva burned Servetus at the stake because he was against what the church stood for. So Calvin had this fellow, Servetus, burned at the stake. You getting that? This Jew had him burned at the stake because he was against what the church stood for. They weren't burning Catholics because in the eyes of the Protestants, the Catholics weren't challenging the basic tenets of the scripture. Surely there were times that racial prejudice came into affairs, but, well, how can you be racially prejudiced against Jews? They're not a race. But one thing for sure, they mostly mix with the beasts of the field. But they have now mixed with a lot of white men too to upgrade themselves and white women. They feel it's an upgrade, just like any beast of the field feels that if they could marry or bring a child into the world with a white, that would upgrade the child. But you see, really, what it is it's an abomination because it was not planted by the Father. So they're wrong. It will not really upgrade. It will make the child lighter, perhaps, maybe. And it might make the child a little brighter. But it's still an hybrid and an abomination, see? So it's a great mistake, especially on the part of the whites. So it's ridiculous to say that we were racially against the Jews. Anyway, sure, there were times that racial prejudice came into affairs, but the mythological image that the Jews were persecuted down through history because of their race doesn't hold up historically. Christians are ignorant that the Talmud advises even the best of the Goyim or Gentiles should be killed. Abhoda Zara 26b, Tosafoth. The Jewish-controlled media is not going to expose such terrible Jewish racism, but they have put out shows on TV blaming Christians for the Holocaust. From the beginning of the Rosicrucians and Freemasons employed Jewish symbolism and Jewish Kabbalistic magic. You heard that, right? Now, I told you from the Rosicrucians came the scientists, and so were the Jewish Pharisees. You could see that they had the mind of science behind them because they would say, you have to show me a sign. You know, science, there is good in science, but there's too much of it that is against the Father in heaven. And it spawned right out of the Rosicrucians. See, science used to be underground before it was accepted in society. So things like when you would see Dr. Frankenstein or whatever, he had to take bodies that were grave robbed because society did not allow that or people didn't give their bodies to science like they do today. So he would pay some poor Englishman or whatever it might be to go out and bring him bodies. You understand? So science was an underground religion. It was an underground thing until the devil could get this religion accepted by the world. Like I told you, it's a white coat religion. It's different than the religions that wear black because they want to have an image of, you see, in heaven, the saints wear white. And so they wanted to whitewash the image of the scientist and give him a white or her a white coat, which subliminally tells the person, oh, they're for my good. But we see that the medical science, the medical system with the white coats are really doing us harm. Don't we see that? They're the third largest killer in the nation, and even the abortionists are white coats, right? Dentistry, another fake thing that if we were educated the proper way, we would have never had cavities. There's a lot going on, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, Christians are ignorant that the Talmud advises even the best Gentiles should be killed. Okay. From the beginning, the Rosicrucians and Freemasons employed Jewish symbolism and Jewish Kabbalistic magic, like Dennis Fecho and Adam Green do. The theme of the Masons from the beginning was the rebuilding of Solomon's temple. The temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed according to Christ's prophecy. The rebuilding of the Jewish temple was a Jewish hope. A Jewish hope, right? Not an Israelite hope, a Jewish hope. They're still talking about building the third temple today, right? Even though I don't believe there's anything in Scripture, I've asked people, I've said, they've told me about the third temple, and I said, I don't know any prophecy of any third temple. This is purely Jewish. In other words, the only reason to bring the third temple back is to reinstitute sacrifice, which means they don't believe in Jesus Christ. It's an anti-Christ thing. It's against the Father's will to build another temple. Period. Clement the 12th in 1738 condemned Freemasonry and asked Catholics to leave it and not to join. Ignoring the Pope's edicts, the Catholic Duke of Norfolk served as Grand Master of the English Masons, and the Catholic Viscount Montague, who was the key player for the power and who was the head of the English Catholics, also served as the Grand Master of England's Masonic Lodges from 1772 to 1777. Let me say again, Clement this 12th in 1738 condemned Freemasonry. What did I tell you? Freemasonry in the UK started in 1717. At least the lodges started. So by 1738, we've already got things rolling, right? The Masonic lodges became hothouses for every anti-religious sentiment. Anti-religious. Communism is anti-religious, isn't it? Didn't I tell you that the Masons are communists? That they're pro-human, for sure. I don't mean in the lodges. They now have black lodges, and they now let women in the lodges, but in some of the lodges. But they are anti-religious, except for the Masonic religion. They're pro that. Within a few years of the public appearance of the Masonic lodges, the governments of Europe were teeming with Masons. Okay, that's what I just said. Isn't that funny that I just said this on the Rabbit Hole Radio Show? That the thing just multiplied, the vermin just multiplied like crazy. That's what it's saying right here. Within a few years of the public appearance, 1717, of the Masonic lodges, the governments of Europe were teeming with Masons. The Marquis de Pombal, royal advisor in Portugal, the Count de Aranda, royal advisor in Spain, Minister de Thillot, and the Duc de Choiseul in France, Prince von Kaunitz and Gerard or von Sweeten at the Habsburg court in Vienna, Austria, were some of these prominent Masons in high government positions. They addressed each other as brothers of the pyramid and advocated the overthrow of Christian organizations. See, I just have to let that resound. Now, we see the pyramid on the dollar bill, right, with the eye. So I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to play you a song, take a break, and we'll come back. Here's what they say. They addressed each other as brothers of the pyramid and advocated the overthrow of Christian organizations. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed radio show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are learning so much. You know, I used to listen to William Cooper, and I don't think I wasted my time with that, because it taught me a lot of things and got me on the road to learning about things such as this. But what's interesting about it is his purpose was to deflect away from the Jews. And so who would know that the Father would raise somebody like myself up to fix that error? You see, they replaced him with Alex Jones, and he was very angry about that because he failed. And Alex Jones just kept the show going to say that it was anybody but the Jews. Funny, though, that he said it's the New World Order all day long, and we know, if you do any study at all, you know right away who the New World Order is supposed to be for. It's the Jew World Order. I don't know why his audience doesn't come to that conclusion. It would be nice if they were calling him up every day saying, "But Alex, it's the Jews," like they did to Bill Cooper. That would be wonderful. Of course, they'd put a stop to that. He's got all Jews running that organization, from what I understand. So they'd make sure that those calls never got through. So let's continue here. On July 21st, 1773, the Pope abolished the Order of the Jesuits. See, the Order of the Jesuits is just another secret society, just like Freemasonry. It is the same thing. Interestingly, Frederick the Great of Prussia, one of the most important and dedicated Masons that has lived, and a homosexual, protected the Jesuits in order to use their services against the Pope and the Bourbons. See, again, the requirement to be in the devil's army, so on and so forth, requires you to be a homosexual. Or a child toucher. Which can be the same thing anyway. If you're touching little boys, you see, you're still a homosexual. Very, very strange. I'm telling you, it's very, very strange. And that's what the next sentence says. Is it strange then? That soon afterwards the Illuminati, Jew Illuminati, arose in the Jesuit areas, yet appeared not to be connected with the Jesuits? Heckelthorne and other writers have noted the close connection between Masonic rituals and Jesuit initiations and rites. Within a few years, the French Revolution, another Jewish revolution,
brought forth through masonry, you see.
Within a few years, the French Revolution, a product of Jew-lumined masonry, broke the papacy's control over France. Napoleon, now remember that he, I wanted to tell you something about that. I'm remembering. In Eustace Mullen's book, The Curse of Canaan, he claims that Napoleon is of Canaanite extraction. Now, this does not surprise me at all. And to correct something, he said it took 6 inches off the average Frenchman, that Napoleon, through these wars, took 6 inches off the average Frenchman. What is that telling you? That the kill the best white men, you see? They made it so that all the tall men went to war, and there were only short men to. So it changed the whole structure in France. Then the Jew could hide in France because they're short too, right? Oh, there's some cases where you'll see a tall Jew, like Herman Munster. He's a Jew. Was a Jew. So, within a few years, the French Revolution, a product of the Jew-lumined masonry, continued the revolution in the name of liberty, equality, and fraternity. Equality means egalitarianism, which is equality. That is liberty, equality, and fraternity. Napoleon proceeded to completely break the papacy. He arrested Pope Pius VI. Contrary to the advice of other Masons, he allowed him to live, but was slow to replace him with another pope when he died. Napoleon permitted Pius VII to become pope, but Pius VII and him didn't get along, and Pius VII ended up arrested. Napoleon treated him, according to the Catholic sources, brutally, quote-unquote, and forced him to sign away more papal power. When Napoleon saw his position in Europe smashed by the Allied armies, he released the Pope. In 1814, in one Pius VII, his first acts after the release, he reinstated the Jesuits. Hello. During these years of the Pope's captivity, the Masons controlled the Catholic Church. What all they did, what a strange way to put that, Fritz, what all they did behind the scenes to the Catholic Church would be interesting to know. They did haul the Vatican's archives to Paris. What is interesting is that they have not revealed whatever great secrets they may have learned from those archives. Of course not. It can be assumed that perhaps they kept these secrets for blackmail or to release when to their maximum benefit, when it would be to their, that his sentence was not complete there. These are not the only historical secrets that the Freemasons are guarding. Charles Taze Russell saw the capture of the Pope by Napoleon as the turning point in history. He may be correct. Apparently, Freemasonry, through the Jesuit leadership and other of their men, have had such control or influence over the Catholic Church since that time period. As we will witness in our next subsection, the Catholic Church may have forbidden Freemasonry, but the records show that many Catholics, especially revolutionaries from Catholic countries, you listening, continued their affiliation with the Church after joining Freemasonry in spite of the bans. See, here it is again. Now you're mixing another priesthood in with the two priesthoods in the Catholic Church. In the Catholic Church, you have the priesthood of the pagan priesthood, and the sprinkled in with the Christian priesthood, and then now you're adding the devil's priesthood. Boy, oh boy, three frogs. But it's not the three frogs, but you know what I'm saying. Subsection 2, Pius IX. The first verifiable Mason to become Pope. After the Masons had completely captured the Catholic Church by the 1960s, they were no longer concerned if people would learn that Pius IX had been a Mason. In the New Age, April 1962, page 17, in an article, a Pontiff Freemason, quote-unquote, an official bulletin of the National Grand Orient of Egypt, published in Italian and dated March 1876, records a document number 13,715 bearing the great seal of the Grand Lodge, Lus Perpetua of Naples, Masonic Lodge Eterna Catena of Palermo. We, Master Masons, dignitaries, and officials certify we have received in this lodge in the form of prescribed by our rituals and with entire conformity to our constitution, the brother Giovanni Ferretti, Mastai, in the profane and civil year 1839, on the 15th day of the month of August. The article then goes on to discuss how various Masons and various lodges were aware of his membership. After he was ordained to the priesthood, he was appointed apostolic delegate in Uruguay, where he appeared in the Masonic lodges. This was even known to profane people, quote-unquote. Non-Masons are profane people. That's you and I. In 1873, in an epistle, Pius IX denounced Freemasonry as originating from the devil. Garibaldi, a 33-degree Mason, and others had overthrown the government of Italy and installed a Masonic government. Victor Emmanuel had been made king of Italy. Emmanuel, that couldn't be a Jew, could it? And while he ruled, he was also the Grand Master of Masons in Italy. After the Pope denounced Freemasonry, a letter signed by King and GM Victor Emmanuel was sent out to the Masonic bodies informing them of the Pope's expulsion from the Masons. Subsection 3. Leo the 13th. Hello. 13? The best anti-Masonic encyclical. During the administration of this pope, the modernist Catholic movement became active against the traditions of the church. The modernist Catholic movement, modern, get it? Became active against the traditions of the church. The director Jean-Baptiste Hogan of the seminary of Saint Sulpice in Paris, was an important figure in this movement. Various members of this movement were linked to Freemasonry and excommunicated or suspended. In 1884, Pope Leo XIII sent out the strongest and most comprehensive encyclical against the Freemasons that was ever done. The warning comes across as very sincere. As to whether there was a hidden agenda behind the heating up the war of words with the Masons, this author is not aware of any. Occasionally, this author is asked why the Catholics were against the Masons. By the way, this author is not Catholic. Pope Leo XIII answered that well with his encyclical. If any Catholics are reading this, they are requested to read this message from Pope Leo XIII. Masonry hasn't changed, but your church isn't warning its people anymore. Other readers may want to jump over this next part. This condemnation of Freemasonry is so well said that it deserves repeating at least in a condensed form. The Masonic Sect, Leo Pope XIII. To all venerable patriarchs, primates, archbishops, and bishops in the Catholic world. And wait till you see what's coming up next. Who have grace and communion with the apostolic see. Listen to this. The human race divided itself into two different and opposing parties. The human race. See, it's everywhere. One of which assiduously combats for truth and virtue. The other for those things which are opposed to virtue and the truth. The one is the kingdom of God on earth. The other is the kingdom of Satan. In those in whose dominion and power are all those who have followed his sad example and that of our first parents. Augustine clearly saw and described two loves have made two states. The love of self to the contempt of God has made the earthly, but the love of God to the contempt of self has made the heavenly. Those who follow the evil one seem to conspire and strive all together under the guidance and with the help of that society of men spread all over and solidly established, which they call Freemasons. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all confirmed over and over and over again. Freemasonry is the devil's church, ladies and gentlemen, but it's not the only devil's church. So is the Catholic Church. So is the Judeo-Christian Church. So are the Jehovah's Witnesses, etc., etc., etc. Clement XII first signalized the danger in 1738, and Benedict XIV renewed and continued this his constitution. Pius VII followed them both, and Leo XII, by the apostolic constitution quo gravatura, recapitulating the acts and decrees of the above pontiffs about the matter, validated and confirmed them forever. In the same way spoke Pius XIII, Gregory XVI, and very often Pius IX. The purpose and aim of the Masonic sect, having been discovered from plain evidence, from the cognition of causes, its laws, rites, and commentaries having come to light and been made known by the additional depositions of the associated members, this apostolic see denounced and openly declared that the sect of Masons is established against law and honesty, which is true, and is equally a danger to Christianity as well as to society. Of course it is. It causes revolutions just like today. What do you think's going on today? And is equally a danger to Christianity as well as to society. And many princes and rulers of states agreed with the popes and either denounced Masonry to the apostolic see or by appropriate laws condemned it as a bad thing in Holland, Austria, Switzerland, Spain, Bavaria, Savoy, and other parts of Italy. Although in our days, these seem to no longer care to hide in darkness, but hold their meetings in full light under the darkness, under the eyes of their fellow men, and publish their journals openly. Yet they deliberate and preserve the habits and customs of secret societies. Nay, there are in them many secrets which are by law carefully concealed, not only from the profane, that's us, but also from many associated viz. The last and intimate intentions, the hidden and unknown chiefs, the hidden and secret meetings, the resolutions and methods and means by which they will be carried into execution. Hence the difference of rights and of duties among the members. Hence the distinction of orders and grades and the severe discipline by which they are ruled. So, by false appearance, but with the same kind of simulation, the Masons chiefly strive, as once did the Manicheans, to hide and to admit no witnesses but their own. They seek skillfully hiding places. You see, just like vermin, this is what I'm trying to tell you, that mice and rats and Jews seek hiding places. See? And they do it skillfully. So they skillfully seek hiding places, assuming the appearance of literary men and or philosophers. See, it's just an appearance associated for the purpose of erudition. They have always ready on their tongues the speech of cultivated urbanity and proclaim their charity toward the poor. Proclaim. They look for the improvement of the masses to extend the benefits of social comfort to as many of mankind as possible, now the term mankind has been used. Those purposes, though they may be true, yet are not the only ones.
Besides, those who are chosen to join the society must promise and swear to obey the leaders and teachers with great respect and trust, to be ready to do whatever is told them, and to accept death and the most horrible punishment if they disobey. In fact, some who have betrayed the secrets or disobeyed an order are punished with death so skillfully and so audaciously that the murder escaped the investigations of the police. Therefore, reason and truth show that the society of which we speak in contrary to honesty and natural justice, it is contrary to honesty and natural justice. A good tree cannot yield bad fruits, nor a bad tree good ones. Masonry generates bad fruits mixed with great bitterness. From the evidence above mentioned, we find its aim, which is the desire of overthrowing all the religious and social orders introduced by Christianity, and building a new one according to its taste, based on the foundation and laws of naturalism. Or should I add to this, I believe, Luciferianism. What we have said or will say must be understood of Masonry in general and of all societies, not of the individual members of the same. In their number, there may not be a few who, though they are wrong in giving their names to these societies, yet are neither guilty of their crimes nor aware of their final goal, which they strive to reach. By opening their gates to persons of every creed, they promote, in fact, the great modern era of religious indifference and of the parody of all worships. The best way to annihilate every religion, especially the Catholic, which, being the only true one, same old crap, cannot be joined with others without enormous injustice. See, they're joined with paganism. This is contrary to what he's just saying. They're not the true religion. They're a pagan religion that's in the guise of Christianity. You see? And he's talking about being the only true one and cannot be joined with others without enormous injustice. Those who boldly deny his existence are admitted as well, as those, like the pantheists, admit God but ruin the idea of him, retaining an absurd caricature of the divine nature, destroying its reality. Now, as soon as this supreme foundation is pulled down and upset, many natural truths must need go down too. In the free creations of this world, the universal government of providence, immortality of soul, fixture, and eternal life. The only morality which Freemasons admit, and by which they would like to bring up youth, is that which they call civic and independent, or the one which ignores every religious idea. Where it has been freely dominating, having banished Christian education, probity and integrity of manners go down. Horrible and monstrous opinions raise their head, and crimes grow with fearful audacity. This is deplored by everybody, and by those who are compelled by evidence and yet would not like to speak so. But naturalists and Masons, rejecting divine revelation, deny original sin, and do not acknowledge that our free will is weakened and bent to evil. There have been, in the Masonic sect, some who openly said and proposed that the multitude should be urged by all means and artifice into license promiscuity. Now, yesterday on the Rabbit Hole radio show, they talked about how socialism, how the ACLU did not want more liberty. They wanted license. Are we connecting a dot there? Let me read this again for you then. You get that? The ACLU said they did not want more liberty. That's a communist organization. They wanted more license. So I'm going to read this little part of the quote again. There have been in the Masonic sect some who openly said and proposed that the multitude should be urged by all means and artifice into license meaning promiscuity. So obviously the ACLU does not want more liberty, they want more promiscuity. For domestic society and the doctrine of almost all naturalists is that marriage is only a civil contract, and that may be lawfully broken by the will of the contracting parties. The state has power over the matrimonial bond. In the education of the children, no religion must be applied. And when grown up, everyone will select that which he likes. So the nature of marriage will soon be changed and reduced to a temporary union, which can be done and undone at pleasure. The sect of the Masons aims unanimously at and steadily also at the possession of the education of children. In many places, they have gone so far that children's education is all in the hands of laymen, and from moral teaching, every idea is banished of those holy and great duties which bind together man and God. Not human and God, man and God. Now, it is well known that Freemasons approve these maxims and that they wish to see government shaped on this pattern and model needs no demonstration. It is a long time indeed that they have worked with all their strength and power openly for this. The communion and equality of all goods, after having swept away from the world every distinction of social goods and conditions. You know, this is amazing, because I had just talked about that this conspiracy is so deep that they've even controlled education. And here it is, this is being testified of yet again. It's funny how the Father does these things. I don't know how he does it. I mean, it shouldn't surprise me. He can do anything. I mean, but in the sense, you know, like he can put things together for us. But it's amazing how these things go testify to one another. Isn't it? From these few hints, it's easy to understand what is the Masonic sect and what it wants. Its tenets contradict so evidently, now he uses the word human reason, that nothing can be more perverted. Why wouldn't he use man's reason? Or men's reason? Very interesting, isn't it? Its tenets contradict so evidently human reason that nothing can be more perverted. The desire of destroying the religion and church established by God with the promise of immortal life to try to revive after 18 centuries the manners, 18666, the manners and institutions of paganism is great foolishness and bold impiety. Isn't it funny that this Pope is saying what he's saying? Listen to this. The Catholic Church is a pagan religion, just like Judaism is pagan, right? Just like our dear brothers, our Aryan brothers, are pagans, and they hate Christianity, but they think we've been fooled by the Jews, when it's really them that have been fooled by the Jews. Listen to what this Catholic is saying right here. Oh, my goodness. With the promise of immortal life to try to revive, after 18 centuries, the manners and institution of paganism, in other words, to bring back paganism after all this time, is great foolishness. But the Catholic Church, and bold impiety, but the Catholic Church has had paganism all along. Methinks something's wrong there. No less horrible or unbearable it is to repute the gifts granted through his adversaries. In this foolish and ferocious attempt, one recognizes that untamed hatred and rage of revenge kindled against Jesus Christ in the heart of Satan. Yeah, it certainly is. It's not only against Jesus because he's one of the Adamic seed line, but it's against all of the seed of Adam. The other attempt in which the Masons work so much to pull down the foundations of morality and become cooperators of those who, like brutes, would see that become lawful which they like is nothing but to urge mankind, now we've used the proper thing, not humanity, right? Into the most abject and ignominious degradation. You see, there's a little bit of confusion. This word humanity and this word human, I'm glad we're honed in on it, and I want to stay honed in on it. Just imagine what I told you, that they use this term humanity, and it really only includes the colored races, including the Jews, who are mixed with all the races, right? So even if they mix with a white man, they're still colored hybrids, right? Because they're part of humanity. So they get us white people to think that, oh, we're all fighting for humanity, when in reality, you're destroying your own self as the white race by working to help human rights. Isn't that interesting? I mean, seriously, I got to keep hammering on this until it gets true. What a trick that is. So he continues that the state ought to profess religious indifference and neglect God in ruling society as if God did not exist. Remember what I said? That we see that they're writing the white man out of the picture and plan to write us out completely, right? Well, they also have been actively writing the father out of the picture, who we are his offspring, right? See, that's what's going on. And the devil does not want a white world. The devil wants to rule this world of brown people. In other words, it just dawns on me. Think about it. Before Adam came here, the devil was here ruling all the other races. Right? But then when we came here, we were sent here to take over and take dominion, weren't we? From the devil. So of course we're in his way. We need to be taken out of the way according to the devil and his children, correct? See, he's trying to undo everything the father did by starting the Adamic race. Before the Adamic race, all the other races were here and Satan was able to take care of all that. But now that Whitey's here, he's in the way. And the devil and his children, his offspring, the Jews, are doing everything they can to eradicate us and our father. Now, does it make sense to you? It sure makes a whole lot of sense to me. And I didn't even pre-think of what I just said. That is amazing. I mean, praise the Father in heaven that he is revealing these things to us. I have to say that, you know, I ride waves in these shows. And I believe that all the shows are good, but sometimes we hit a wave. And I'm hitting a wave right now of things. If you didn't hear the Rabbit Hole Radio show and the last several shows, I think we're on a wave of revelations. I mean, amazing what I just said a minute ago. I didn't plan that. I always allow the Father to be able to interject. I think we just learned something big time there. Now you know why he wants a brown race. He wants to bring it back to the one world order, but he wants to bring it back to no Adam. Goodbye, Adam. Goodbye, Adam's father. This is all an attack on the kingdom of Yahweh in heaven and the kingdom of Yahweh, the kingdoms of Yahweh on the earth, which are the Israelite white Adamic nations. See? Ladies and gentlemen, that is absolutely amazing. So we're going to stop right here. We're on page 399. Wow. It's going quick. Praise the Father in heaven for teaching us all these things. I'm elated to know him and to be able to serve him and to be able to help the brethren all I can. I'm doing all I can to educate you and to enable you to fight as a warrior of Yahweh. And it is my hope that you will not perish for the lack of knowledge like so many of our brethren have. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.